Okay, welcome to Soul Sisters with me, Georgie Crawford.
And me, Claire Solan.
This podcast is a podcast that guarantees plenty of aha moments and lovely white smiles thanks to our favourite toothpaste brand, Colgate Max White Ultra. We love partnering with Colgate Max White Ultra because we've seen the results and it really does whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Just ask the Soul Sisters. Colgate Max White Ultra is available in Dunnes, Tesco, Super Value and pharmacies nationwide. Actually, I was in Tesco yesterday and I saw Colgate Max White Ultra is half price in there. So yeah, hope you enjoy it over the new year.
Hi folks, and welcome to what we are billing as a live episode, but it's only live because we're planning not to edit it. So basically, welcome to the Soul Sisters Christmas party.
Yes. So what we have decided to do is record this podcast as live. Nothing at all will be edited out, whether Jamie comes into the room, whether Dave makes an appearance with Claire's chair, whatever happens is going to happen in this episode. But we are so glad to be here with you, whatever you may be doing, driving home for Christmas, doing your last minute Christmas shopping. We are so happy to be in your ears as you make these journeys home and to your loved ones over the next couple of days. So first of all, Claire, I am inundated with people asking me, are you actually spending Christmas alone? And how are people going to know how you get on, because we're not going to be recording after Christmas. People need to know. So how are we going to keep people updated?
Oh God, are you basically implying that maybe I might have to get on social media early 2026 and give people an update? Is that it?
I think people, why don't you vlog on Instagram your Christmas day? Hi guys, this is what I'm doing. The Soul Sisters, I don't know if they're worried about you, if they're intrigued. I think they are slightly worried that you're alone on Christmas Day, but you can't leave us till the spring of 2026 when Soul Sisters will be back without giving us an update.
So I think people are intrigued and maybe a little worried, because are they thinking to themselves, if this was me, this would be terrible?
Yes.
Right. See, that's where me and the rest of the world differ, because I honest to God, and I was thinking about this. I have had a week of all weeks. I think it's fair to say we're lucky I'm here to record this podcast, particularly as live, considering we did try and do this on Friday. And I called you at the time that we had stated we would start recording. And I said, I can't do it.
Yeah. We actually tried to record it Wednesday. Then we tried to record it Thursday. Then we tried to record it Friday. So, Claire, you got, would you call it the stomach flu?
You could, but because there's a super flu on the go, maybe let's call it the winter vomiting bug.
Okay, right. So you had the winter vomiting bug. And I said to you that when I was sick a couple of weeks ago, and you were being your spiritual guru, right? Which is like your true self. And I appreciate it when you do,
Good reframe. Well caught.
I do appreciate when you hit me with the knowledge. So I'm not taking the piss. But you said to me, this is emotional clearance. Mm-hmm. I told you I'm not having a good time at all. I can't eat. And I'm spending most of my time in the bathroom. And you said, this is emotional clearing, Georgie. This is good for you. This is how you get it all out. And then I thought, I think you're a little bit jealous that I'm going through this. And so you manifested it.
That's actually a really good way of putting it. And yeah, I had 5.5 hours of emotional clearing the other night. So Tuesday, Christmas lunch with the company I'm doing a short-term contract with. Beautiful Christmas lunch in Notting Hill. Delightful. Skipped home after it. Got home and there was a care package, two care packages, one from a friend and one from my mother. Both with goodies like bath bombs, all my favourites, Kyo's crisps and shards of orange chocolate. And that it'll become obvious why I really highlighted shards of orange chocolate in a second. So I munched on them on Tuesday night when I got home. I got through Wednesday a little bit hazy after, you know, all of the festivities. And I was speaking to my parents, lying in bed, which is something that I do when I work from home. Many of us do. You punctuate your day perhaps with just a little nap or a relaxation on your back. Mm-hmm. So I was chatting to my parents, and in the deep in the recesses of my stomach, something started to happen. And I quickly sort of rushed my parents off the phone, and I then began to feel really, really ill. And within minutes, I was vomiting violently into my toilet. And then 2.5 hours into that hell, I was then also gifted some diarrhea.
And so you got on to me, and I felt so bad for you. And of course, we postponed the podcast because you sounded like 50 Shades of Death on the phone. And I promised you I'd check in with you soon, and I left you to it. So basically, the moral of the story, do you feel you've had an emotional clearance?
I feel like I've not only had an emotional clearance, I've had an ancestral clearance. I've had, see down there, 7 generations down in the background, way down there. See all that trauma and all that emotional stuff, that's gone. Ooh. I am an empty vessel. But what I must say is, I will never, and you can quote me on this, eat orange chocolate or any chocolate again.
Really?
It was the last thing I ate, and therefore the first thing I saw again when it all went wrong. And I can tell you, when I, like, it was the darkest, dark night of my soul. Mm-hmm. My two poor neighbors were sitting downstairs watching, I think, football or something. And the noises. I was so lonely and so alone. I was like, how could I be so sick and be so alone? And then when the diarrhea started, I was saying to myself, between like bad stomach cramps, thank God I'm all alone in this one bedroom apartment with no filtration. My cat is the only one who witnessed the whole scene, and she's sworn to secrecy.
And she's still with you.
She's still here.
So this happened shortly after that we made our trip to London. Well, I made my trip to London, and I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but when I travel, you know, across the world, and I feel like I can blend in and do my thing discreetly in other countries. When I go to London, I literally feel like the biggest outsider and Irish fool, to be honest. Like, it's too fast.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's too fast at the train stations. I can't tap quick enough. I can't get the ticket in and out. I can't navigate like a local. And so I just feel like I'm causing so much disruption to people around me. And they let you know, don't they?
Oh, they let you know. You're right. You feel it, you see. And that's the thing about London. You're either wildly foreign, for want of a better word, in terms of, like, you're there to look up at the lights and the splendor of the city as a tourist, so you're walking slowly, or you're there and you live there and you're a Londoner and you just know the rules. You know what side of the escalator to walk on, what sides to stand on, you know what side, like, as Londoners, we know what carriage of the tube we get into each time.
Wow.
So I will go all the way up the left, for instance, to the very end, and I'll get myself a seat up there. If I stay in the centre, too many people.
Right. So we went to Colgate HQ, which was incredible, wasn't it?
It was. I love, because I'm not in the corporate world, neither of us are, it's always so fascinating to go in and see it.
I know, I loved that. And that's why when I love my corporate talks that I go and get to hang out with people in the office, like the girls. I love that. So we went in and we were, first of all, swept into a meeting. And we're going to tell everyone all about our trip to Colgate and how incredible they are and how much they love their jobs, which was so lovely to see in our reasons to smile. But as we made our way out of the Colgate office, I said to you, now I wouldn't have myself down as any sort of day drinker, but I said, let's get some Prosecco for the train. It just felt like, you know, my big day out. And so this is what I love about the UK. You just went into Marks and Spencer's and they had little cans of Prosecco. So we got ourselves two little cans of Prosecco, a big bag of pretzels, and we sat on the Great Southern Line, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was Southwestern, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It back into Victoria.
Yes.
And
Waterloo.
Waterloo, yeah. Mm. And this is what I noticed about you, which I thought was really interesting. This was your London moment. Okay. So we're having the chats, right? And we're really enjoying our drinks. But then something in you shifted 10 minutes before we got to Waterloo. You got into London mode. So you have this app, which was telling you the quickest way to get to your next destination, but the routes kept changing depending on the times. So one minute it was a bus and a train, and then the next minute it was two trains. You were gone as soon as you started planning, you know, your next London move. And so we got off the train and I was like, oh, it's so great. And we had a lovely chat on the train, of course. And you were like, oh, this was brilliant. This was great. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, bye. And then you were gone. It just disappeared. And I was like, Did we have our special goodbye? Claire has just literally disappeared and I couldn't even see you in the distance. And then I was left. And then, of course, I did what probably all the tourists do, which is I'm like, ooh, a lovely shop up there. And so I spent the next hour stuck in Waterloo going into all the shops. And
did you?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And you were gone. You were just gone. You transformed yourself back into a Londoner and I haven't seen you since.
I did send you a text afterwards though, because when I got on my next train, I was like, God, that was so lovely for us.
I know. And it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really nice and it was really short. And you're right. What I had done was I had, now I'm hearing, can you hear?
No, I can't hear.
Okay. So I had a recce to go to. So I had to go to West London. And by the way, just before I continue talking, just tell everybody what you're doing.
Oh my God. We have the most amazing American neighbours. Every Christmas, they drop us over freshly baked cookies. So Marley just knocked on my door with a tin of freshly baked cookies. They smell delicious. And I thought you were launching into a big story there, which is why I have started eating one.
Yeah. And you see, I haven't eaten properly for 3 days. So I just had to stop at the sight of that. Of course, I'll never eat one of them again. So it's lovely to see you eating them. But they are, you can see how homemade they are because they're like not just thin. They are, look at the amount of chocolate bits in that.
It's delish. Okay, go on. What were you talking about there?
So, yeah, I had to go to West London to do a recce on a house and it was quite important. It was part of my job and I thought I'd left myself loads of time. So I got on City Mapper, which is this incredible app. If you're trying, loads, I think Dublin has it. It's like kind of global at this point. I definitely talked about it on the podcast before. But unfortunately, it's, as you said, up to the second data. So it's between like 65 minutes, 59 minutes, 50 minutes. So I'm trying to make my decision. And what happened was we pulled into Clapham Junction. So I was thinking to myself, should I get off here to get to West London quicker or do I go all the way to Waterloo? Again, forgetting myself and my courtesy. So I apologize as a Londoner and a former Dubliner at how rude I was.
It was nice to see you in action, actually. I've never seen you in full London mode. So we have promised ourselves, because we both absolutely consumed the P. Diddy Netflix show, and we're just going to do a little recap on it because it literally needs to be done.
Documentaries, first of all, are my only TV consumption at the moment. I have Christmas movies on the list, but between P. Diddy, Taylor Swift, Charlie Sheen, these documentaries are just so good, and they're revealing, I think, more than documentaries have ever revealed before. So let's start with Diddy.
Okay, so P. Diddy obviously is in jail right now, and this documentary was a deep dive into the crimes he committed, things he's, I suppose, in suspicion of, and they got their hands on footage that Diddy had filmed in New York in the days before his arrest. So let's talk about the number one observation for me was how absolutely freaked out he was. And it was written all over his face. How did he even think he was hiding? How scared he was in those days leading up to his arrest. What did you think of him, like, looking out the window at the cops, looking through his window, wandering around New York? It was crazy, right?
Well, one of my biggest observations, I think, in the documentary was that he hasn't been sober for 20 years.
Yeah.
30 years. Like, genuinely, he's been under the influence of something for that long. Like, he, you know, he's the, and you know, his character in all of the videos and whenever you see him in the press is like bottle of bub, you know. So he's always been like a party boy. But behind the scenes and in the documentary, you see he was taking ketamine, he was taking cocaine, he was taking uppers and downers to beat the band. So I think the version of him we saw being filmed in New York 6 days before his arrest was completely strung out and also highly anxious, you know,
severely anxious. Do you know what's like surprised me so much was how much his son was involved with him and like in his posse. You know, can you imagine your dad looking at your dad like that?
So the two sons were there.
Were they?
Yeah. So he has like, what, 6-7 kids? And two of them are there. I think his eldest son and one of his sons from Kim Porter was there. And you know, like his shadow or his part of his security team. Again, like what's coming across and what I can see from my kind of post-documentary research, looking at all of the stuff that P. Diddy's doing on his Instagram and, you know, people talking about what Diddy was like. Brainwasher. Gaslighter.
Mm.
You know, just one of these, a bit like the Epstein caricature, you know, like larger than life dictators who just manage to completely brainwash those around them into believing that they are, you know, the one and only. And you can see that, like you say, with the sons. I remember reading something while the trial was on, and I think the kids had come in, maybe his grown-up kids had come in to give their statements about their father. And all of them were like, you know, you could barely tell the difference between them, but all of them said the same thing. My father was an amazing father. He loved us so much. I love him so much.
My favorite quote from the whole documentary, and I wrote it down, it was from this guy who said, "When I first met Sean, I liked him as a person because I didn't know him." How funny is that? I really liked you as a person till I got to know you.
Oh, I had no idea who you were.
Another thing that I found that was really interesting from the documentary was when he goes back to where he came from. and he was going out on the streets and people were like embracing him and in awe of him and, you know, falling at his feet. And then someone said he was using the culture only when he needed it. So walking around Harlem only because the world turned its back on him, and he came home hoping that Harlem had his back, and he only did that when he needed them. And I thought, if that is not an absolute lesson in never forgetting where you came from, I don't know what is.
Good point. And what was quite shocking about that was when he got back, how he was with them on the streets, and then when he got into the car and he talked about, he's like, oh God, I need a shower. I've been on the streets, man. Oh God, get me home. Oh,
hand sanitizer.
You know? And this is a true reflection of who this guy was. You know, another quote from it was like, Biggie paid for his own funeral. Like he has so much debt in the industry. He owes so many artists, most of them now no longer singing and in the industry, thousands. Producers, thousands. He never paid or settled his debt with anybody. Even and some of the most damning indictments against him came from people who worked with him at the very beginning. People he gave 25% of Bad Boy to, and then just reneged on that and took it back. Somebody else was saying to me the other day, actually, his mother, Janice, has a lot to answer for. You know, because he was raised in a home where his father was like part of, you know, was a scoundrel by all accounts and never there. And his mother was just having these mad, wild parties. So as Sean grew up, he was just, you know, he was privy to way too much too soon.
Hurt people. Yeah. It was, if you haven't watched it, settle down. Maybe it's probably not Christmas Day viewing. Definitely not with your mother-in-law or anything. Don't be watching the Diddy Duck. But I think it is so interesting as a study of human behavior and what goes around comes around. And I think you have to, especially, I don't know, like I always pay people, send me an invoice, because I don't know, it's just why should you be getting paid if and then the people who are helping you are not? Like, I just it just doesn't sit right with me.
This is what did my friend said to me, I'll look it up and see what she called it. She called fame something, and I was like, that's so true. But you see, what the problem with fame, what comes with fame, is entitlement. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that entitlement hits, and what happens again is you're gifted things. So you start, that becomes your norm.
Yeah.
And you just start to expect it. And it's, you know, it's frightening actually what can happen. Fame, she said the other day, fame is an affliction. And that's, I suppose, what's happened to Diddy now is he is afflicted by his fame, because he's inflicted with his fame, by his fame. He filmed everything. He had a videographer follow him around for all day, every day. And what happened was, as soon as he was arrested, 50 and whoever else went and paid off the people who had that film, and they got hold of it. And God knows what else is there.
Yeah. So straight after I finished Diddy, it came up, recommended the Simon Cowell documentary. I was like, well, I hope the Simon Cowell documentary is nothing like what I've just consumed. So Simon Cowell, Taylor Swift, I've got a list. Diddy is the only one I've conquered. So I'll be putting them on my list. Simon Cowell, worth a watch?
I'm ashamed to say I watched at least 3 episodes of Simon Cowell. Again, I feel like much of the reason that many of us of a certain age, from like 45 down to, I suppose, 30, would enjoy these is because Diddy and Cowell were all over our screens when we were growing up. Like, these are our formative years were spent watching these men. who had so much power.
Yes.
And what Cowell is trying to do is trying to put a band together again.
Mm.
And part of the Diddy documentary is his time with making the band. So it's really interesting to see Cowell's relevancy in culture slipping away, and you see him trying to regain that. It's, you know, it's a glossy doc. It's worth throwing your eye over, but really probably watch it through two fingers. But the best one I've watched and I've absolutely loved is Taylor Swift. And I'm not a Swiftie.
Mm.
But boy, oh boy, is she just... She's just fucking cool. Excuse my French. But she's just really cool. And she's somebody, you know what she is for women? And for me as a woman, let me speak for myself. I watched this Taylor Swift documentary, and they have obviously amazing footage of her as an adult, but they also have footage of her as a kid. And, you know, taking, unboxing a guitar and like being 16 at a local fair. Hi, guys. I hope you're having a good day. My name is Taylor Swift. And like there's 10 people watching her. Her parents, you know, were there. And what they did was they saw the love, they saw the passion, and they fulfilled her dream for her. And now she's fulfilling theirs.
Oh, I love it. And you know what? Taylor Swift is an example of a woman who pays people. Like all those bonuses she's giving out to people on the tour. Like she apparently is an incredible tipper. She really looks after people. Like that comes back around.
But you know why? Because when you see her, she's a normal girl.
Mm.
Wait until you see her. That is what's the most gratifying thing about the end of an era documentary. She is sitting around in sweats like Alex Cooper. She's sitting around backstage with her guitar. She's on her keyboard. Her mum is there. Her mum is always there. Her mum tells the story about how she and Travis met. It is the sweetest. And she's like, "Mum, you tell it, Mum." Like, honestly, I'm getting shivers. It is a beautiful illustration of when women, what the divine feminine power, if there's something you want or something your little one, even better, loves, indulge her, bring her to the classes, let her do what she wants to do and see what happens. Because to see Taylor Swift backstage with Sabrina Carpenter or any of the guests she brought up on stage, hanging out with them, and then Florence and the Machine, and how her music is just so second nature to her. It's like speaking.
Mm.
You know, it's beautiful.
I love it. So I'm going to do that with Pia, and I can already see Pia like setting up a whole living room experience for this Taylor Swift documentary. Like we're going to have duvets, we're going to have treats, we're going to have, you know, but she has a blow up mattress that she gets out sometimes.
If you haven't got a karaoke machine for kids, I'd recommend you get one.
Oh yeah, it's all right for you to say in your quiet retreat of your flat in London, and then encourage all of us to listen to our kids screaming into a microphone on Christmas night.
Good point, well made. Good point.
A thing that I just wanted to mention before we get into our reasons to smile is I do this every Christmas with my family and when we go away on holidays. And I just think it's a great tip, because sometimes we can assume or presume what other people need or want without actually asking them. So a great tip for Christmas this year is to sit down with the people you love, if you have some time off, and ask them what their intention is for Christmas this year. What would they like? What feeling would they like to have? So Jamie's is always, you know, just to rest. It's really good for then Pia to know that Daddy would like to rest sometimes over Christmas. Mine is, you know, to get present, put down my phone and to switch off. And so when I say that out loud, then other people in my house can keep me accountable for that. And then Pia's might be to do something fun or exciting. And then we know what she wants. So then we can facilitate that for her over Christmas. Mm. So I think it's nice, you know, what is your intention for Christmas this year? And I'll ask you, Claire, because obviously you have purposefully set up a specific type of Christmas for yourself. So what is your intention for Christmas?
I suppose the biggest, I was thinking about this earlier on, I haven't so much chosen Christmas alone as chosen change.
Yes.
I've broken a cycle, a routine.
Yeah. I think that's important for people to understand when they're listening to this, because a lot of people are like, oh God, is Claire going to be okay? What's going on with Claire? So you've chosen, you've chosen change just to just do so, mix it up.
Nothing changes if nothing changes, as we know. So I had to make a rather big and bold move this time of year. But I know what I'm doing is I'm setting the intention for 2026. I'm telling the universe, this is what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to go and back me and my desires. Take me to them.
Love it. Okay, so we're going to get into our reason to smile now, Claire. You're going to just say what our reason to smile was when we went in to the Colgate office. So this is how, this is probably little bits that we'd edit out, but because it's a live episode, I'm just pulling up our scripts here and I am looking for our Metro. So a huge thank you to Colgate for supporting Soul Sisters all of this year. Did you know, unlike regular whitening toothpaste that only removes surface stains, Colgate Max White Ultra also removes deep set stains embedded in the enamel over time to deeply whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Most importantly, it's the number one brand recommended and trusted by dentists. It's backed by science and dental professionals. And for us, we love it because it actually works. Claire, give us your reason to smile.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind on the day of our Colgate experience was your arrival. So we had to be there at 11, and just before 11, G-Town arrives. And it, I think it had occurred to you, first of all, you were like, well, my taxi man has dropped me to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Tell us that story just before we...
Yeah, so the taxi driver is like, 40 minutes to your destination. I was like, well, I have 29 minutes on my Google Maps. So he said, okay, you direct me. You can direct me to the Colgate HQ. I said, no problem. So I sat in the back and I directed him. And anyway, he dropped me off. And it was kind of like on this little roundabout and there was buildings in all directions. So I got out of the car and I just started walking in one direction, and I'm walking and walking and walking, and I hear the beep, 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 beep. And he's waving at me out the window. And I was like, geez, dude, like relax. Like, so I'm in my Irish, the Irish person in London turns around and gives him a big smile and a big wave back and continue to walk. About 3 minutes later, I realized I was walking in the wrong direction. I was like, oh, he was beeping at me to tell me that Colgate HQ was in the opposite direction. I thought he was just being friendly. So anyway, I arrive in. And I try not to bring the frantic energy because I wasn't born with it. It's definitely like something I've created for myself. And so I know that I can kind of keep it on the DL, you know, if I manage it properly and if I get organized and if I center myself and if I breathe deeply. So I hope I didn't come through the door like too much of a tornado.
You absolutely did. Complete tornado. What are you talking about? Straight into the disabled loo, into the loo, change your shoes, boom. Before we knew it, we were on the way up to Colgate to see Bella and the crew. So when we got upstairs, we had a lovely lady at reception, and then Bella came out to meet us and she was like, oh, girls, just in time for a meeting about a brand new product. Mm. So I don't know about you, but we said, of course, we'll come along. But knowing what I know about offices, we were walking into a meeting room with like everybody in there.
Like how many people would you say were there? 50?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think definitely 30. And oh, just, you know, because we were last in, you could only really like line up by the door. So we couldn't really see the presentation on the screen so well. So I was actually just reading people's faces and like sort of laughing along and kind of clapping at the right places. But it was so nice to be invited in. And I was kind of waiting for people to look at us like, what the hell are you doing here? But very quickly we were welcomed and then we were ushered around to another room past a buffet with every conceivable treat for lunch.
It was absolutely delicious. And I was like, is this for us?
Do you know what? It was great. And it was a great reminder. And I might do it again if I'm, you know, working somewhere a bit more long term. Have a meeting over lunch. So we had in our agenda, we had we'll do the presentation and then there was a lunch. And we thought they were two separate things. When we arrived, it was a case of grab yourself a beautiful salad and make your way into the room. Everyone can sit around and George and I can give our presentation while people are having their lunch.
Yeah, we were so embraced. I loved that they cheered so much for each other. And we saw that in the presentation room, but then it like continued outside the office. So like people walking past being like, well done on your promotion. Oh my God, slay queen. And then people wearing like Colgate merch. There was Colgate products everywhere. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
There was the varsity. Yeah, beautiful varsity. I really wanted one of those varsity jackets. And then there was people in hoodies. People doing like calls wearing Colgate hoodies.
Yeah.
I did think it was quite cool, actually. And then we also saw people come walking around with baskets.
Mm.
So we were saying to Bella, like, what's the deal? Why are people like, is this supermarket sweep? What's going on? She was saying, oh, because employees are entitled to get stock on discount. They, when they want them, they go and get a shopping basket and they come in and they'll buy their bits and pieces that they need.
Yeah, it seems like they're treated well, they treat each other well, and we were given the 5-star treatment. So that was our reason to smile. Colgate, we're so grateful. We love you guys, and hopefully we'll be able to reveal more about what was going on in that secret meeting next year.
Yeah, it was lovely. And it was great to be face to face with the gang because we've only ever really done meetings online. And it's lovely to be able to say that a partnership between us and a brand is more than just business.
Yeah.
It's the real soul and heart there.
Oh, love it. So make sure to look out for Colgate Max White Ultra in supermarkets and pharmacies nationwide.
And in your stocking, guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to go into a little bit of a kind of a little bit of feng shui. And I always really connect with things like this because it's quite simple. And I love a shift of energy. I love kind of welcoming in good luck and good vibes. So there's this brilliant Instagram page, Feng Shui. Oh my God, I'm going to have to get it. I didn't write it down.
Feng Shui. I must say, before we get into this bit, I would just like to say, you know, when you've been ill and you've forgotten what it feels like to be well.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly get a burst of energy and you think, oh my God, I think I'm okay. The first thing I did was a deep clean in my bathroom.
Oh, I'd say so.
And I, well, I have it. So I have a toilet and a separate bathroom from the 1950s. Mm. And so, yeah, we had sealed off the toilet for obvious reasons, but the bathroom was pretty clean. I have white tiles in my shower. They are gleaming. I had a bath, and when I was finished in the bath, I cleaned my tiles while sitting in the bath.
Oh, fabulous. You are like peak 40-year-old.
45,
midlife. Okay, so the Feng Shui Flo is her name. I'm sure loads of people follow her. Kimberly Gallagher. And she's been doing this like 12 days of Christmas Feng Shui kind of, what am I trying to say? Feng Shui energy flow thing on her page. So anyway, I'm just going to give you some of the little tips that you can do just to kind of welcome in the good vibes for 2026, because that's, you know, what we want. So to let money flow in, she says money energy enters through your cooker. So the cleaner it is, the more it can enter. Did you know that?
Sorry, now that's so interesting. I was talking to my parents the other day. What do you clean your oven with?
Oven cleaner.
Fair enough.
What do you clean it with?
Well, I was using the pink stuff. Have you got
that
over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
that didn't work very well for me.
Well, do you know what? That baking soda and vinegar, like I clean my fridge with that now because I don't want obviously any chemicals, that you can get a good scrub on with that.
Okay, great. And if all else fails, a good oven cleaner.
Yeah, that's it. But it's quite toxic, so I don't love to have it in the house. Stop money running away. Get some red ribbon, which we'll have loads of over Christmas, and tie it around the pipe under your sink. It stops your money running away.
I'm going to 100% do that.
Welcome in good things you've been waiting for by sweeping around your front door, because if you've got like debris and leaves and dirt, like the good things can't enter. So give your front door a good sweep, which is a lovely thing to do. You can do a micro clutter clean, which is one area, five items. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
One area, five items. Don't store presents under your bed, which we don't store anything under our bed after that episode we did a few years ago when we said, basically, if you keep letters from your ex-boyfriend under your bed, it's keeping you stuck.
Yeah. I mean, I only keep my new boyfriend to come under my pillow.
Yeah.
In letters. No exes.
No exes.
Hell no.
And she says, don't forget to thank your home for looking after you, which I think is such a lovely point. What was that thing Jerry said a couple of years ago that really resonated with me? If the universe is giving you gifts, don't forget to say thank you. So you're going to get into now the year of the snake and what's coming for us, because I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of weeks that 2025 was the year of the snake. And then maybe that's why so many awful things were happening. And, you know, what can we look forward to in 2026? And is it going to be a little bit better? Claire is searching. Is this dead air we would take out of a normal episode, Claire?
No, this is just a breathing space.
Oh, sorry, you forgot.
Jesus. This is just me taking just a little breath. It's not normal for people to talk for 50 minutes nonstop.
On a podcast, it absolutely is normal.
if you're at a party, you don't talk for 50 minutes. Like.
Can we just say that dead air, that's probably like we're so radio trained.
It's your biggest fear, but I actually quite like it. I love a silence.
Dead air on radio. So basically, when we worked in radio, if there's dead air for like 9 seconds, the mountain kicks in, which is what we used to call it. But basically, it's this backup track. So if dead air is detected, the system thinks that your microphones aren't on, something terrible has happened. And so it will play like the Westlife album or something like that.
But just think about that for a second in terms of humans.
Yeah.
Doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't. See, the year of the snake isn't actually as bad as it sounds.
No, it's just shedding a skin, isn't it? Oh, there it is. I found it. You've sent it to me. No, I mean, look, the year of the snake has been, like, if we think of the year of the snake in terms of what it's been for both of us, like, I lost my job and I had an accident, both of which, when you think about it, Jesus Christ, that's terrible. But actually, they've been the making of me. I'm freelance. I'm no longer working in a PAYE way. And I have autonomy and freedom over my career. And the accident made me stop in my tracks and rest to the point where now I can have a brilliant 2026, where if I'd kept going at pace the way I was, I wouldn't have been able to be, you know, ready to take off and launch my own brand and launch my own career.
Oh, it's so good. And it's like we do fear so much of the bad stuff, but it can really just set us free.
Transformation, shedding, release, renewal, inner growth, self-improvement. So this is all the year of the snake. Dissolving illusions, moving through your fears, devotion to what matters, balance and belonging. So that's an important year. Like, this has been a year of kind of planning, of figuring out what works for you, who works for you, who's in your circle. Like, do you like your partner? Do you like your friends? You know, are there changes that you could make? And then the year of the horse is like, be ready, because we're about to take off. The words boldness, movement, freedom, flow, clarity, rapid change, courage, authenticity. So like there's, you know, and if you think of a horse, you know, my sister has 6, 7, 8 of them at a time, and they just, they are the most mysterious creatures.
Mystical. Like,
yeah, they're fabulous. They're powerful. They gallop. They go. They're instinctual.
I love that. And do you remember a couple of weeks ago you were talking to me about the 9-year cycle? Mm-hmm. So my friend Lauren Nelson sent me this the other week, and she said, I know that you're not feeling yourself at the moment, but maybe this is why. She said, this made me think of you when I saw we're closing out an energetic cycle from 2017. Might be part of why you're not feeling 100% yourself, or why stuff is coming back up for you. And 2017 was the year I was sick. So I'm closing the 9-year cycle of that. And I think, you know, when you're reflecting on your year and the accident and being made redundant, I think for me, in so many ways, I felt like I went backwards this year in terms of my PTSD and trauma. I was triggered by a lot of things this year, and it made me see so clearly like that I really, really need to go back to therapy to deal with
100%, George. 100%. Like, get there. And anybody else who's listening to this, do not delay.
Yeah.
You do not do this on your own. You don't have to. Mm. And the more you stay in your own mind, and the more you allow that the waves of trauma and rumination to bash you time and time again, just like the sea erodes the earth, the coastline, your trauma will erode you.
Yeah. And I'm sure so many people are like, shut up. Like, you had cancer like in 2017, like just get over it. And I was so lucky my cancer hadn't spread, but I cannot tell you how at times how absolutely terrifying it is that it could come back. Like, it's crippling. So yeah, I think I'm really excited that it's in the 9-year cycle could propel me forward, but I definitely don't think I can move forward until I go a little bit backwards and dive into it a little bit more.
Would you make a pact with yourself that you will not say the word in 2026?
Cancer.
Yes.
It's very hard not to. Like, it's very, I say now when I was sick, or, you know, when I changed my life, like I won't speak about it so much. But yeah, like I could.
My friend's mum had cancer, and she survived it, and she never called it cancer. Mm. She gave it a different name, Maud, or can't remember the name she gave it. But the association, therefore, the weight of it wasn't there.
Yeah. See, it's just like in, you know, there's even ads now. I mean, you're sitting watching TV on a Friday night, like having worked so hard all week and you've switched off and you're in a really happy place. And then an ad comes up on the TV. This is what cancer looks like up close. And it's like, whoa, like, I mean, should that even be allowed on the TV? You're like, no. Freaking people are trying to like rest. And it's just like it hits you then and it brings you back.
I completely agree with that. I think that's so tasteless. And I just don't know why the Irish, you would never see this in this country. The UK would never put that on the television.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just definitely something I need to work on, how I feel about you know, my own health and my own journey. And like, this is not to say like anyone around me who is sick or has been sick, or I love chatting to them. I love speaking about all the positives to do with cancer, you know, everything that it brings to people's lives, all the incredible advancements in medicine. Like, they're the conversations I want to be having, you know. I don't mind talking about that stuff, but I do just find when I close my eyes at night that you can feel like quite alone and scared in those dark moments. And they're the moments that I need to work on just to free myself, you know,
because you're still in it. Exactly. You haven't processed it completely.
Yeah.
And I know we laughed at the top of this episode about processing stuff emotionally. But what happens is dis-ease in the mind becomes disease in the body.
Yeah.
And emotions and stagnation starts and occurs. And, you know, things like meditation, things like therapy can make such a difference.
Yeah. No, I owe it to myself and the people around me, you know, to work on it. So, yeah, I'm going to look more into that 9-year cycle. Looking forward to the year of the horse, which starts like in the middle of January, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we will be embracing that. Definitely. Okay, so we were going to go into some Christmas recommends.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything that you would like to recommend?
Yes, I do. So I have been listening to a book. I am fashionably late on this, friends, but if you know me, and you all know me pretty well at this point, this is how I roll. You may have heard people talking about a book called All Fours by Miranda July in the last few years. And how women have been describing it is, as particularly for women in long-term relationships or married, it's like a sexual awakening.
Oh, wow.
So this woman is in her 40s. She is planning a trip across America from Los Angeles to New York by car. She's married. She's got a kid. And let's just say the journey takes her to some incredible places, but not geographically.
Okay.
And I would recommend this book if you haven't, or if many of you I know are going, yes, 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 Claire, it's amazing. Yes, I know. If you haven't read it, I would recommend listening to it, because Miranda July has the most amazing voice, and there's something so deep and so meaningful and so enjoyable about listening to an author who's created this story read it to you, tell you it. So if you need a breakaway from life this Christmas, then put All Fours in your ears.
Oh, I love it. I actually, when you were saying that, I was like, oh, I should really recommend that. I think we're so flat out buying presents for everyone else. Like, what's a small little gift you could buy yourself this Christmas? Like a good book to read in front of the fire. If you're into doing the work and the self-care and the wellness, and you're, you know, listening to Mel Robbins and, you know, reading Oprah and doing all that, like, could you buy yourself a lovely novel just to kind of switch off for a while? Or a bath bomb, like you were talking about bath bombs. That could be really nice to buy yourself something.
Ricky Gervais was on Zoe Ball's last show this weekend, and he said the same thing. Zoe said to him, what are you going to have? What are you getting? You and Jane getting for Christmas? And he was like, oh, we're just getting small little bits to open. Like cool little fun bits to open, because, you know, nobody needs anything really. Like, the kids need their stuff, but the adults just need something fun to pull out of wrapping paper.
Yeah, like a good book. Speaking of the year of the snake and shedding, I went in for a facial with Ivana Breen. I was telling you about this, the IPL and microneedling. Have you ever had microneedling?
No, I haven't had anything. I need to get something done.
Oh, you would love it, Claire, because it's like,
what?
So they call it spicy. So when you go in and they say something spicy, you know, like, and I was already lying down at this point.
Spicy.
It was a spicy facial. And when I say I felt like, now this is what I love about a good facial, is that when it feels sore, at least you know that you're going to get something like some good results out of it. Microneedling felt like a lawnmower on my face.
Jesus. I don't think my skin could take it.
No, you could.
No, I've really sensitive skin, like acne old, but I've got acne scarring. I'd love to have, you know, a lawnmower on.
Yeah. And it's literally like all my skin felt like kind of bumpy the next day. And then I like shed it all. And then now I feel all glowy and gorgeous. So anyway.
You're the snake.
Yeah. You're the snake. What I was, you know, people who are really good at their crafts. So like you go into Ivana Breen, right? And she has like her glasses on, like she sits down, she's like right on top of you. She's so much experience with skin. She's only short of wearing like a head torch to like look at your face. Like she, when you look at her videos of her doing people's faces, like she's so in it. And it got me thinking of like embracing other people's talents. Like I want to go back to acupuncture, because when I go into acupuncture and the girls are like so into what they're doing and they're like putting the needles in you and then they're doing the cupping and like stepping into someone else's passion is such an inspiring space to be in. So can you book yourself if you feel kind of like, I don't know, like a little bit stuck or dead inside or uninspired. Like sometimes I feel so uninspired and I'm trying to like, how can I wake up that creativeness inside me? How can I feel alive? If you step into someone else's space who feels alive, that energy is contagious. Okay, so what will be, do you think, your favorite part of the next few days and the Christmas buzz? Do you like going out and into the shops? Do you like the food, the movies, the music? What is it?
I unfortunately no longer like the food. So,
oh, okay.
As of this week, Christmas food is off the menu. So, you know, my death row meal, none of that is happening. I will be having, you know, vegetables and, you know, keeping it really country. I'm going to see, do you remember that Kate Winslet was in a film, I think it was earlier this year or maybe late last year, called Lee.
No.
Lee Miller is an incredible photographer, like a wartime photographer. And Kate Winslet portrayed her in a movie. Kate Winslet, by the way, at the moment, is just having, isn't she, having a moment. Like she's just the person you want to listen to speak. If you can, listen to her on Happy Place with Fern. Excellent. So Lee Miller in the Tate, in the Tate Britain, there is an exhibition of Lee Miller's photography. I'm going in there on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to a show with Sheridan Smith and Ramesh Ranganathan, which is like it's a play they're in.
Yes.
So I'm going to go into that on the matinee on Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
So that, again, to go back to what we were talking about London earlier on. Embracing London for what London has to offer. Like London never sleeps, even at Christmas time. So that's what I'll be doing.
Oh, fab. Okay, well, make sure to keep us updated. If you won't keep us updated, I'll check in with Claire and keep everyone updated on her behalf.
I'll take a few photos and put them on the Instagram.
Go on, do it. But thank you for bringing us wherever you brought us to today, whether you're cleaning your house, cooking your dinner, driving home for Christmas on a train, plane, wherever you are in the world. Thank you, Soul Sisters.
What does Christmas look like for you now in the gang for the next few days?
Oh, okay. So Christmas Eve, we are going for tapas.
That's a change.
Yeah, we're going.
Are you having people around? No?
No, we're going out for tapas on Christmas Eve. My mum loves going out on Christmas Eve. So we're all going out on Christmas Eve, get our dinner handed to us. And Christmas Day, we'll be in Hazel's in the morning, over to my mum's in the afternoon. Stephen's Day, we'll always go for a big walk or a hike or something, over then to Jamie's brother's and back up to my mum's then. Because Sam and Sophie are away, so we'll get the gang back together then a few days after Christmas. But I just want to be just sitting on the floor with my kids, eating nice food, you know, just feeling warm inside and resting. That's what I want to do. I just want to simplify everything and just do the important things.
And is there exciting news coming from you in January? Are you and Jerry getting back together?
Yes, Better Days will be back in January. So we will be keeping you company from the 5th or 6th of January. Jerry's going to be answering dilemmas. It's really good. We've recorded a bit of it pre-Christmas and there are so many aha moments in there. I'm like, Jerry's in his prime and it's just some great stuff in there. And I'll be off to run the Alps. So wish me luck. I'm three cookies in to this tin of Marley McElfresh's cookies. So I need to close it and keep some for the kids. But
yeah, nice.
What a year it's been. It's been incredible to still do this with you, Claire. I love you so much. And I hope you have a brilliant Christmas and I can't wait to see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Soul Sisters. This is the best part of our year when we do this, these seasons together. So thanks for listening.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas.